Of course, Ireland are going to hammer the All Blacks. And then the real world kicked in, didn't it?
Ireland were really conservative, and I don't think it helped them. I think they kicked too much.
This is going to be a huge test. I think we're definitely the underdogs going into this.
You can't play that card anymore, mate. Like, you just can't actually say that anymore, because you're not. World rugby is completely letting us down. Victor should be TMO.
Whenever I got home, I realised your influence is far and wide. My daughter obviously has the exact same.
Look at that.
She's got the same eye for fashion as you, JK.
You look way better, Trimby.
Welcome to Rivals. And after a big weekend, one of us is happy and one of us got a little wet and a little bit unhappy, Trimby.
Yeah, it's just one of those. I just got carried away. I just got carried away with the whole buzz of being in Chicago, all the Irish people. I didn't spend any time with any New Zealanders, so I didn't get my expectations checked. So I was just surrounded by Irish propaganda for 3 days, partying. So for me, of course, Ireland are going to hammer the All Blacks. And then the real world kicked in, didn't it?
Yeah, look, I just thought it was an amazing few days. You know, I actually don't get how come the Irish, like, you know, I did go looking for you and I walk into an Irish pub and there's a guy there from Dublin, a guy there from Limerick. And like, what's the go? You just fly to the other part of the world and then go to an Irish pub?
I probably know all those people that you met. We all live in the same street together.
Yeah, but isn't it the best pub to go to, Irish pub? Come on. Doesn't matter where you go in the world. That's always a safe option. If you don't know where to go, find the Irish pub. Even if you're in Japan, Tokyo, doesn't matter where you are, find the Irish pub and you'll be fine. There'll be some nice
people. That's a competition.
Right? Normally not
That's
Irish.
That's a competition we win. But we always win that competition. The Six Nations pubs, Rugby Championship pubs, we will win that competition.
It's a good crack. You guys don't mind if I ask you about the game, do you?
But yeah, I'd rather not. Well,
can I just jump in, Trimby? Can I just jump in, mate? Because, like, for me, I don't know if we need to go on strike, every rugby player, every rugby coach in the world, because world rugby is completely letting us down. Like, that referee, and I'm not going to take this. Please, referee, if you're listening to this, don't take it personally. But that was an absolute disgrace the first 50 minutes, right? It's not a red card, because when is our TMO actually going to look at the game and go, there was no malice in that, it was a mistake, right? And he didn't mean to do it. I mean, Bowden comes out after the game and says, look, if you look at that game, you know, I got the ball late, it was a reaction, he shouldn't have been red carded. You add The ref was too pedantic, right? I'm sitting in a box. We've got, I won't tell you who it was, but we've got this massive American influencer, right? First rugby game. And to be fair, they were bored for 50 minutes until the game livened up. And the ref was pedantic. And I think that both players, both teams got frustrated and there was no flow to the game. And that added, I mean, I think that both teams made, I think the Irish tactically it was an interesting game for them, and the All Blacks made a few mistakes. But, you know, we've got a spectacle play. When we play our game, when our game is a great game, right? When our game is a great game, it is one of the best spectacles.
South Africa play normally, isn't it?
yeah, exactly. Yeah, against an opposition that's not really, anyway. Well, let's not go there. So I'm really frustrated at the moment because we keep talking about how great our game is. World Rugby keeps saying we want to change. We want bigger crowds. We want better crowds. We need a better spectacle. I went to the Bulls game during the week, and although basketball stopped start, there was a whole lot going on. It was just this vibe. So I was just really, really frustrated. I felt really sorry for Tag. You know, that's after 2 minutes. It's just like, when are we going to actually think about the fan and think about the speed of the game? When's that going to happen?
Yeah, but Bowden Barrett, to be fair, graciously came out after the game and said some really nice words. At the time, though, he did go down very easily. His body went limp. His soul left his body. And he looked like one of those, you know, those goats you see on YouTube where they run along and they stop and their legs go in the air. That's what he looked like when he got glanced by Tyburn, like no impact at all. But yeah, he came out afterwards and said some really nice words supportive of Ty. That was bananas. Nobody sensible thinks that was a red card. That was outrageous. But the spectacle as well, JK, yes, the performance of the referees didn't help. TMO didn't help. The performance of the teams didn't help. More so, let's be fair. But the spectacle as well was poor. The tech didn't work. The video replays didn't work. The pitch wasn't good. It just felt like everything up until the game was brilliant. They absolutely nailed it. The marketing, the excitement, the buzz in town was amazing. And then as soon as the game, we got to game time, everybody disappointed. It was a big opportunity for us to impress the biggest sports market in the world, grow our game, and we didn't do it. We cocked it up.
What do you think, Victor?
Yeah, I just think it's very difficult for the teams to perform if it's a stop start like that. I mean, I think that first half almost took an hour. I mean, the break on the red card, couldn't get this big screen on. There's a TMO. Now they're waiting. They're running to the side to make decisions. I mean, Ireland gets a penalty. Jack Crowley goes over the mark. He doesn't kick the ball out. So it's actually advantage for New Zealand. He calls him back. So you can't go over. Kick it again. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, we want to get momentum into the game. We want to get speed into the game. And I think the officiating just killed it. I mean, just away from this game as well, going to disciplinary hearings and stuff. I mean, what's happening with Jan Hendrik Wessels at the moment? Player punched him again. He claims he grabbed him a certain place. There's no evidence at all. He gets 9-week ban. They go on appeal. He gets 8-week ban without any evidence. How can that work in any court of law, anything? I mean, I just think whoever is running the referees, whoever is running the judiciary, is that how you say it, process, we're just failing the game definitely at the moment.
It feels like the referees, and this is Joel Judge, I presume, as the boss. So the referee on Saturday, like, they'll look at his game and he has actually refereed to the law of the game. But if we referee to the law of the game, it's a shit game. You know, if you get the good refs that actually let it flow, they actually let a little bit go. But the players get it. The players understand straight away, oh, this guy's going to let that go, right? And so we need to take some responsibility. You're so right. I think that with the red card, it's got to be around malice now, right? That I'm okay with that being a yellow and then coming back on, but it shouldn't have been put to a red because there's no malice in that.
So just there, I mean, the forward pass, so Bowden almost pulled out of the thing. Ted pulled out because it's a forward pass. He can't get the ball. Then they collide. I mean, if you know rugby, if you look at the incident, you'll say, listen, there's almost like a dead ball with a forward pass to him. And he pulled out. If he tackled him low, there's also a penalty kill. He can't tackle him without the ball. Understand? So, yeah, I think someone just needs to look at the game, understand the game and make decisions that's for the good of the game.
Yeah, lads can do damage as well. Either being, if there's malice, as you say, JK, they're looking to do damage, or if they're just being laziness or their technique's not good or they're being careless in the air, for example, or they're upright and it's just a different body shape. Everybody in rugby understands what happened there. As you say, he felt like that was a clumsy play. He got the ball late. Bowden Barrett didn't expect the ball. He ended up with his arms in this position crossed, but it's not... I think they're thinking, oh, technically, when lads do that, they're loading up their shoulder to really put that through someone's upper body or chest, neck, whatever it is. And that is dangerous, but that body position is a defensive one. It's a clumsy one. It's an awkward one. You got to be sensible with that. And it's what you say, JK, to the letter of the law, or let's be sensible about the game. Referees that want us to do it to the letter of the law, impact the actual law, they're getting carried away. They're thinking we're something that we're not. These are not the laws of physics. They're flawed. We made these laws up to play a fun game, and we're destroying a fun game by being taking ourselves too seriously.
This is what I think needs to happen, Ricardo. We need to stop ruling by committee. We've been professional now for 26, 27 years. And the trouble is we've all got to come together in a committee and make that rule. Now, people say to me, stop talking about rugby league, JK. But rugby league's product has grown from a crowd point of view, from a spectacle point of view. The game's sped up from 35 minutes to 55 minutes. But they make decisions also during the season, right? We talk about the stuff pre-cut World Cup, and then they make a rule late. So we need to trust someone to be able to make the decision. We shouldn't have to come together, because when we come together, it takes us 12 months to decide, because maybe the Irish don't want to do this, and maybe the Kiwis don't want to do that, and the Africans don't want to do anything, right? You know what I mean? And so we all come together, and we can't decide. We need to show some leadership and have someone in this game that gets it, and away we go. Like, I reckon Victor should be TMO. So if someone grabs your nuts, mate, you're all good. You just punch him, and he's playing next week.
Yeah, I think so too. Just maybe to the rugby, Jimmy, did you think Farrell made a mistake to take McCloskey off? He was unbelievable on the day. Why would he pull him off out of the game?
He was brilliant. He got injured. Yeah, I know, because as he came off, he was injured. Over our side, and he looked. I thought he looked devastated, and I've seen Stuart McCloskey look devastated because Robbie Henshaw's played, Gary Ringrose, Bundy Aki, all these guys are getting ahead. He's been devastated for 10 years. And I assumed it was that again. He was being brought off for the big impact that you expected from Bundy Aki. But then seeing him later, he had his groin strapped up, and he's a doubt for next week. But I really hope, as you say, Ireland were trying, went out the back a few times, went to the kicking game a few times. Everything was inaccurate. Everything was untidy, apart from when you put Stuart McCloskey right up the guts. That's how you're going to get an offload, change the picture. He was absolutely brilliant. He's waited so long for his opportunity, and he was brilliant. And it was great to see him just patience be rewarded.
Trimby, JK, I thought tactically Ireland were really conservative, and I don't think it helped them. I think they kicked too much. I mean, we are used to seeing Ireland try to hang on to the ball for 15 rucks, and it seemed to me that they had a different tactical game, and it just didn't suit them. Didn't look like the players were into it. And, you know, the South Africa have taught us one thing. If you're going to play that kicking, high kicking game, you've got to be incredibly accurate.
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe given the benefit of the doubt, I assume they think because they weren't fit enough to go multi-phase, then we didn't get to see that. And now we're saying that version of Ireland that we've seen over the last while, we haven't seen that version do it really accurately or really well at tempo, at pace, with accuracy for probably over a year now. But before that, we did see that for Ireland on repeat, and it was so effective. If they can get back there, then they'll be a threat and might be able to compete with the top teams in the world. But if they don't do that, the plan B doesn't work. Ireland can't do that. They proved at the weekend they can't do the kicking game. Slow down the game. If they slow down the game, they're not big enough, they're not physical enough, they're not accurate enough in the air to be really clinical in those moments. So I agree, JK, these lads have got to get game time, get them back on the pitch, get them fit, and then they can get back to that multi-phase.
Do you think they can play that game with Jack Crowley at 10? Isn't that more Prendergast? Isn't he the option if you want to go play the multi-phase? Isn't Jack Crowley more a bit deep in the pocket, play territory like he does for Munster? But he doesn't really take the ball to the line as much as a Prendergast or a Sexton did in his day.
I think Prendergast over the last while probably does like picks that option better. He's maybe considered to be better with ball in hand and phase play and getting guys structured around that. But if you saw the Munster Leinster game, that's exactly what Jack Crowley. It was a masterclass. It was an unbelievable performance from him. And when it comes to kicking game, that's, you know, Prendergast, his kicking game, he's, you know, this old school spiral just out of nothing, and he's just got this variety to his game, and he sees space. So I'm not sure if it's that simple to kind of separate, you know, the strengths of the two. I think Crowley can do that. I think if he's got guys around him who've got loads of running in them, and they're all in good positions, they've got good shape around their phase play, I think Jack Crowley can absolutely play that game. That's not to say I think he's going to lead the way. I don't know who's going to be there in 6 months, 12 months time, who's going to be leading the way. But I feel like he's definitely capable of doing it at the minute.
Trimby, I don't disagree with you, but I think it's definitely the Sexton effect. Like, Max Sexton at the end of his career had this amazing ability. It was like watching this machine in place, right? And it was totally led by Sexton. So I agree with you that both these young boys, Crowley, they can play this game, but it takes a hell of a lot of discipline to go out and then everyone around you so confident they know what you're going to do. I mean, the switching from one side of the field to the other under Sexton and everyone knowing what they were doing was incredible. So, you know, I just think you got to stick with one. I don't think there's enough difference in them both. You got to give someone the rugby. You got to give someone the rugby team, right? And I understand competition, but when you play like the Irish, it just I just think it takes a while to get into that first five at the line, like Victor said. You know, that balance between kicking and running.
Yeah,
Can we just sum up the game from the All Black point of view? I mean, you know, by the way, Matt Sexton was a Canterbury hooker, but can we just sum up the game from the All Black point of view? Lost a couple of Barretts early, a whole new midfield that really looked effective, and obviously a good last 20 minutes. But what was your thoughts on the All Blacks?
Yeah, I thought they'll be concerned about their inaccuracy with the ball. I thought they made some really good line breaks early, and you know, were knocking it on and didn't really get the rhythm. Just the young guys, Lester Fa'aunuku, man, like, he's been away, like, we thought we'd lost him. And his impact at impact time, right? So his second efforts to get you just over the advantage line. You know, Josh Lord comes in. You know, Josh has been around the team for a while now. He's had a few injuries. I thought he was unbelievable. Fabian. So I think the disruption early was amazing. But our young guys came on. So Titi, I thought the last 20 minutes, you saw these young guys come on and really make an impact. So that was really, really positive and creates competition within the team. So to sum up very quickly, I thought, you know, a bit inaccurate in the first 50 minutes. And then, you know, we had some big games as well from our locks. Victor, you would have been really excited about our two young locks that stepped up. And then the young guys, Fa'aunuku, Satiti, you know, really coming on and making a difference, which I thought was really, really positive.
Yeah, I thought the bench were unbelievable. I think Williams on in the front row, every time he comes on, got a big impact in the game. Satiti was the Satiti of last year. He was unbelievable, supporting lines, I mean, running hard, getting over the advantage line. And I don't know what's the kid that came on 12. He just had magic. I mean, his first touch, he created that try. And that's what you got used to from All Black backs. Someone that takes the ball, nothing on, footwork, speed, power, and then there's a try. So I think a few youngsters that really stepped up for the All Blacks, they'll be very exciting about those guys. And it's nice to see. I mean, last year, Satiti was really outstanding. It was Young Player of the Year, and we all thought he'll kick on. Unfortunately, he didn't, but this is a step in the right direction for him as well.
Caleb Clark was very good as well. Felt like I'm not buying into the New Zealand didn't play well for 60 minutes and then played well for the last 20 minutes. I think New Zealand were trying to play rugby. It's just that last pass. I think they misfired. Don't get me wrong, they misfired, but they were close to cutting loose a few times. Actually, I remember saying to my buddy beside me, it's only a matter of time before these passes start sticking. And they started sticking whenever Ireland fatigued. Ireland lost all that line speed, all that intensity in defence. And then you just give Damon McKenzie a little second extra on the ball, and then the passes started sticking and defenders started getting beaten. And then we saw the real version of New Zealand.
Caleb Clark is also a must in that All Black team. I mean, his carrying ability, his aerial skills, I can't believe they sometimes leave him out. He just brings something different. Last year in South Africa as well, he was outstanding in those test matches over here in South Africa. So I don't understand why they sometimes just don't want to pick him.
Oh, I think Victor, I think his issue this year has been a couple of niggly injuries that have kept him out. But I agree with you. I really like the combination. I really like the combination of having a big winger and then a fast winger, you know, and I think Caleb's really on form. I totally agree. I think that's a given. So, yeah, I don't disagree, Trimby. I think the team were trying to play. You know, you know what it's like when you've finished a game. They'll be sitting down Monday morning and say, you know, we can't be dropping those balls, those last passes. We've got to make that better. I do think they tried to play rugby. I agree with that. And, yeah, So I think they'll come away pretty happy, Ricardo. I mean, it's another hard week this week. Be interesting to see what he does with selection, you know, because while Trimby's making the excuse that the Irish at the beginning of the season are not fit enough, you know, but he still had to swim in the lake. You know,
just on that, I saw there was a big winger and a lean, fast winger on the beach in California as well. It's definitely a nice combination of the big and the lean winger there.
Yeah, I'm Leroy Carter.
Yeah, just a request from the viewers, JK, if you could just keep your shirt on for the rest of the series, that would be great. Like, it must have been a tough weekend for you, Victor, obviously being the Japanese line-out advisor.
Not the line-out advisor. I'm just helping Eddie with everything. So I'm not – last year I did the line-outs. This year I'm just actually second voice to Eddie. So just giving impact. Yeah, and it was difficult. And I've said it in the past. I remember when we played for the Bulls and we had that team that just dominated for 3 years. Everyone said they knew exactly what we're going to do. And I said, well, if you know what we're doing, try and stop it. And you just can't stop it. And just the power of the Springboks. Unfortunately, the Japanese player just couldn't live with that physicality, intensity. And then a guy like Sasha comes in, two half gaps, and he scored two tries, and then it's game over. So, unfortunately for them, I think it's a wake-up call. After last week against Australia, they probably thought we're a bit closer. And it's nice. I mean, there's a lot of systems that get into place. But unfortunately, against the top three, four teams in the world, if you don't stand up physically, if you can't handle the intensity, if you can't, especially the 22, if you can't do that 22 defense and 22 attack, you're in trouble. So you need that physicality, unfortunately.
And you've got a huge weekend against France.
Yeah, this weekend, I think it's probably our toughest test of the year, even tougher than go down to Eden Park. I think it's going to be harder to beat them.
But you didn't win.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why I say this is going to be a huge test. I think we're definitely the underdogs going into this, although we're playing really well at the moment. France, I think the one thing that can count in our favour is they haven't played together for quite some time and there's one or two injuries. But, I mean, they're going to be up for it. They've been waiting for this for 2 years to get this great match against South Africa after that quarterfinal.
I can't believe you say you were underdogs. Like, you can't play that card anymore, mate. Like, you just can't actually say that anymore because you're not. You're world champions.
You're going to Paris playing the French team that's the Six Nations champions. What do you mean?
Why have you not mentioned your World Cup wins, Victor? Yeah. You can't talk up your World Cup wins and then talk about being underdogs. You can't do both.
We'll bring it in next week again. I'm hiding that away this week. I'm nice and humble this week. I'm a bit worried about the weekend.
JK,
so I'm really humble.
JK. Whenever I got home, I realized your influence is far and wide. My daughter obviously has
Look at that.
She's got the same eye for fashion as you, JK.
I mean, the good thing is about it covers most of your face, mate. You look way better, Trimby. It suits you, mate.
I would have worn the whole podcast, but they make your nose itchy.
Those are the best. JK, you'll have to send that over to you.
Yeah, yours looked good actually last week, Victor. Yours look like shit, Trimby. But listen, I will take you guys shopping. Don't worry, I will help you out if you need me to. I think
I'm over to Ireland, Trimby, I'm not on the beach the next day. I'll be straight to the bar 10 o'clock the next morning again, or to whiskey tasting or something. Not getting me in cold
water.
We'll
go for a swim. I'm not sure before the Ireland game. Are you going to be world champions or are you going to be underdogs? Which ones are going to be?
Be
is it Jekyll or Hyde, Victor?
We'll be double world champions then. Again.
Yeah, I think the French. I personally think the French, after seeing them down in New Zealand with not their top side, I just think they're, you know, one of the best rugby nations in the world from A to Z. I think, you know, their game is really working from a publicity point of view. The crowds are full. You know, this is their TV rights are going up. You know, they're attracting a whole lot of foreign players over there. You know, and that's why I thought Ben Azee, you know, should have been chairman, because I think that French have proved that, you know, their whole game's going right. I do think that they need to beat South Africa, New Zealand. They beat us last year in November. You know, they need to get these scalps under their belt if they want to go into the World Cup and actually be really, really confident. I still believe way back in 2002 that, you know, the reason England won in Australia is they came down to New Zealand, they beat us on our turf. And it just gives you that confidence you can do it. Like you said, Trimby, you know, Ireland turned around from 2016. I do think you need that belief in between World Cups.
Yeah, I don't think France have ever struggled with confidence. I think France feel like they are one of the big dogs in world rugby. They haven't had to cope with that kind of imposter syndrome that other Northern Hemisphere teams, certainly Ireland anyway, before they make that big step and then they convince themselves they can compete. I think France have always thought they can compete, and it feels like they're going to go to the next level now, certainly what they're capable of anyway.
I think
I'm such a big fan of Bordeaux and Toulouse. If you look at those two teams, almost 80% of the clips that I took to Eddie that I think where rugby should go to is probably from Bordeaux, the way they play. I mean, then you've got Toulouse on the other side that's been probably the top club with Leinster for the last 3-4 years. And, I mean, if you put those two teams, just those players together, they don't have to play together too much. It will just be magic. They just got class all over the field.
I think there's one team that we haven't talked a lot about that actually is quietly really climbing up the charts, and that's England, you know. And it's hard to think of a team that's quiet when you've got someone like Henry Pollock that's playing for them. But they are quietly putting up results. They did well in Argentina. You know, they put the Wallabies away at Twickenham. They're going to be a team that are going to be doing well in this autumn series, do you think?
I don't know why we're trying to make – this is sort of sums up our game. Why are we trying to make Henry Pollock something that he's not?
Well, doesn't he?
What do you mean?
Well, doesn't he just need to be himself? Why are we always trying to, you know, make someone that they're not? Ricardo?
I think he is being himself. I was just saying he's not someone that lacks confidence.
Yeah, well, that's right. But it annoys me that everyone around the traps is trying to make him something he's not. England are always a threat. I think England lost their way a wee bit, but now under Borthwick, they're back to actually understanding how they want to play. You know, what was Ireland's problem on the weekend? I think they got caught between two styles of game. Why is South Africa such a massive threat? Because I think South Africa now have the correct balance between, you know, smashing you and then they can be expansive. Why are France so good? When France is so good, because they can play their expansive game. And it's really, I think Victor's, you know, point is so good. Rugby nations that are doing well have two or three really dominant clubs that are doing a great job from their junior club right through to their senior club. You know, Leinster, for example, you know, and Munster and teams like that, franchises that are doing well. In New Zealand at the moment, it's been for the last 20 years, probably Canterbury. So, you know, England, I think, have come back to actually, this is how we play. Borthwick says, this is our DNA. If we do this, we're hard to beat.
Yeah, and the Henry Pollock stuff as well. Like, we need rock stars in the game. I know this has been said a few times recently, but if you behave like Henry Pollock, then you get a bit of a reaction. But that reaction's a good thing. All of this stuff, all of this rivalry, slagging, banter, intensity, frustration, hatred between teams, and he's one of these guys. He's a beacon for a response. There's no Lions hangover with Henry Pollock. He's hit the ground running straight away. He's backing up his talk. He performs like a rock star. So I love guys like that. He's very good for our game. He makes our game more popular and brings it to new kids that haven't grown up playing rugby. They want to be Henry Pollock. I want to be Henry Pollock.
Scary thought.
I just know he's going to motivate the All Blacks and the Springboks whenever they play against England. The boys will definitely be into him. That you can know.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll enjoy that, Victor. I think he's the type of player that needs that. Some players need to have that confidence and that sort of pizzazz to play. And good on him, man. I think it's awesome.
There's a team we haven't mentioned, and you know, I think the New Zealand side should be thinking about these guys, and it's Scotland. You know, they're quietly going about their business, getting ready to play the All Blacks at Murrayfield. They've never beaten the All Blacks before in their history. And I think quietly, they're giving themselves a big chance this weekend. Does anyone give them a chance?
We would never underestimate Scotland, Ricardo. So we know that Scotland, under Townsend, are incredibly well-organised. They're a really good rugby team. It'll be their biggest game of the year because like Trimby was in 2016, they will want to be the team that breaks that hoodoo. So for me, it's the biggest game of the trip. I knew that everyone would get up for the Ireland game. I knew that was a big game, but this is the biggest game from a combination. We've got a couple of injuries now. You know, this needs to be our best game by a long shot from a preparation point of view. And the coaches will know it. So we will not be underestimating them. There'll be nothing left on the preparation table. So this is the biggest game, and I'm pretty sure the team know it.
I think Scotland's got an unbelievable backline. I mean, with Finn Russell there, they've got dangerous outside backs, everything. But unfortunately, they just don't have a back that can lift with a Springboks, All Blacks, France, Ireland. So, I think they won't be really competitive. I think the All Blacks will run away with it this weekend.
I'm with Victor. I'm surprised that you're saying it's the biggest. I don't see New Zealand being concerned about this. Granted, they'll not take it for granted, but I think they'll turn up on the blue Scotland away. Scotland, they do have this. They certainly have a higher ceiling than we've seen from them, but I just feel like Scotland sides over the last 10 years, they've got, you know, maybe win the first game in the Six Nations and then they start thinking, okay, where can we be? And they start thinking they're here, but we don't see consistency from Scotland. At least every now and again, we see a big performance from them, but they very rarely back it up. And I think it's because of that reason. They haven't got a pack to give them that consistent foundation. The young guys coming through, Liam McConnell's playing very well for Edinburgh at the minute. Glasgow are kind of revving their engine at times and showing how good they can be, but it feels like they never really step up and compete consistently with the big teams in the world.
I mean, we're trying to talk Scotland up. Can you help us here a little bit, Trumby?
Sorry. Sorry.
Good.
Well, no, we're not trying to talk. I mean, what the boys have said is correct from a technical point of view. And when I say it's the biggest game of the season is because if we think like Victor and Trimby, we'll get beaten. Like, we've got to be right on our game. It's the only thing, right? Yeah. So from a psychological point of view, this is the hardest week. You know, you get yourself up for a game in Chicago. There's all the hype. You know, the boys go to the game, you know, go to the Bulls game. They do all that sort of stuff. This week's the grind. This week's when you've got to really pick it up. If we play to our best, we'll beat Scotland. But if we're a little bit off, we won't.
So I had the opportunity to captain the box in 2010 on a Grand Slam tour. And back then, we haven't beaten Ireland for quite some time. So we had almost the same tour that New Zealand had. So we had Ireland, Scotland, England, Wales, and beat everyone. And then we lost against Scotland. So, I mean, if you're not mentally up for it, it can be a problem. So, but I don't think, I think where the All Blacks are at the moment, they will still feel the pressure. They want to win every game, so I think they'll be ready for the game.
From a selection point of view, Ricardo, when I'm talking about this, as a selector, you go, who's in the balance at the moment, right? So Satiti's been a little bit criticised, you know, like Victor said, player of the year, been left out a couple of times, you know. Do you rest someone like Artie and start Satiti? So you bring a bit of edge to the week, you know? So for me, it's about selecting a couple of guys that are on the fringe, but you know they're good enough, And that brings a bit of edge to the team. You know, they're bloody running around like madmen during the week because they just want to take their opportunity. So it's just balancing it, right? Just making sure you get the right mix of selection. Make sure you make that week really good. And then I think if we play to our ability, we don't lose.
Hey, that's what Rossi would do, Victor. I know you mentioned this before. Once they rugby championship, they bring in the young guys, they deliver. That does not mean the older guys, the veterans, the lads who are established, it doesn't mean they're gone. They're going to come back in a few weeks' time with a point to prove, and Rossi's going to lean on that. I think that's maybe a lesson that other head coaches can learn. It's okay for South Africa to do that because they have like five tiers of depth. They certainly haven't got that in Ireland. They may not have that in New Zealand either. So maybe other teams are constrained from what's available.
I was talking about innovation before when I was in Chicago. You know, Rossi has completely changed also the emotional side of the game, you know. And I've been wrong for probably 12 months because Rossi has actually said to test guys, right, you're going to be put into this game and put under selection pressure every week. And it's working. And that's what our game lacks. Our game lacks a bit of innovation from world rugby to say we need to do this to make sure our game changes. So, you know, Trimby's right. And I think, you know, Ireland do need to make some changes after the weekend, Trimby. You know, like that you do need to put pressure on some of these guys. Doesn't mean the old guys are not any good anymore. It just creates that internal pressure.
I think some dogs are just killing wild animals on Victor's lawn, so we better go. Have a good weekend, gentlemen, and lots to talk about next week on Rugby Rivals.